Welcome, everyone, to another episode of 90 Day React, Bubbles and Banter. So let's get into episode 4 of season 7.
Well, you said let's get into episode 4.
Well, you have to say, you know, which episode, what season.
This is what we're discussing.
Tuning in from around the world.
Fair. Yeah, from all around the world. Okay. I want to hear about the apartment because there was stuff that happened between last week and now, and I need the people to know.
Yeah, so my neighbor put a note on my door asking me if my apartment was for sale or if I'd be interested. You know, telling me all kinds of offers, this and that. But, right. You know, this is the person that never says hello, never chit-chats or anything like that. He didn't even write down my name on the note. So I was kind of a little bit insulted by that. And so I just ignored his note. So then, like a week later, I'm trying to bring up the note he wrote again. And left it on my door. He says, "Hi, it has been 1 week since you saw my initial note. Any interest in selling? Same terms apply. Cash, easy transaction, no specific time frame. Please let me know. I won't bother you further." And then his name and the apartment number.
I won't bother you further. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, he said, "I won't bother you further." But still,
and wait, no. And this one you forgot to mention. This one was handwritten. The other one was printed.
The first one was typewritten. This was, I guess, he gave up. He made it.
Or he was like, "I need to make it more personal or more something.
Friendlier this time." Still no name, you know. His name, but not my name.
Right.
And I just, you know, wrote, small note and put it on his door saying, "Hey, so-and-so, thank you for the offer, but I'm not interested. And Amir, my name." So that was it. That was the end of, you know, our negotiations, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
They're 100% going to try to kill you for this apartment now.
Yep. Or, you know, put some graffiti on my door.
I don't know what it is. I'm always just so paranoid about people's reaction. Like when you, because you had sent me the photo of what you wrote, and I was like, "That's not nice enough." Like you, because I'm always paranoid that someone is unwell or something, and then they're gonna like react poorly, and then
you never know. I mean, also you don't know how are they going to read your note. You know, if you say, "Hey,"
like, how are they going to read it?
"Hey, so and so," instead of "Hey, so and so, I don't want it," you know, instead of saying,
well, that's why I said, because you wrote "not interested."
Yeah, that's
why you should have written, like, "Thanks for your offer."
Sometimes they do. It's like 50-50. It all depends how the other person reads it. So you have to be careful with that stuff.
All right. Well, keep an eye on that.
That was the end of that.
End of the saga. I think it's weird that he followed up to, like, "It has been 1 week."
Yeah, I'm curious why he's so insistent on this. Like, he probably...
Because
some people, what they do is they buy two apartments and combine them.
That's what I said the first time. I said they want to expand or something.
Yeah, but
then you can't resell at all. I don't know. Would they even allow people to do that? Or I guess they have.
There's
right?
one apartment that my friends that you know,
the gay couple
met at the pool. Yeah,
you said that they have a floor, the whole floor, right? Or something like
yeah,
that?
They have the one that is overlooking the parking lot, and the other apartment's overlooking the water. So they combine the two. That apartment they have to sell it for so much more. It's like, who's going to pay for that? You know.
Yeah, who's going to pay complex. Like $1.5 million for an apartment?
Exactly, right. And they spend so much money in it.
They don't have kids.
I mean, just retired, so. There's just the two of them now.
They're chilling.
They're traveling. Yeah.
They're having the time of their lives. God bless them.
Yeah, exactly. So what did you think about the episode?
Oh my God. I have like so much to say.
Yeah, well, we found out that Adnan.
Well, who do you want to start with?
Adnan? He's not a virgin.
There's no way.
As if we didn't
know. There's no fucking way. He's such a bitch, man. I hate him so much.
Yeah, I just want to smack him. It's like,
God, every episode I get more and more angry with him.
Exactly.
Number one. I was like, holy moly, because I knew that Tiger Lily's ex was controlling, but she said that. She's like, I've never been to a wedding. My ex didn't allow me to have friends, and he isolated me from my family, or whatever.
And
she
then said. She wants to marry same type of person.
I know, like, it must be some trauma response. It's got to be. Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I don't want to psychoanalyze her, but it is so deeply toxic to see his behavior as like loving. Yeah. And even her friends were like, "What the f***, girl? Like, you just got out of this. Like, why would you want to?" Re-enter this. And I'm sure this is not as severe because also there is a power dynamic that she holds with her finances and all that. It's different. Right. But my God, like, it is so upset. Like, abuse is upsetting, point blank. A toxic partner is upsetting. But like, even the things that I didn't even consider, like a wedding, you know? I would look at a woman like her and be like, of course, she probably has tons of friends and she's probably been to a ton of weddings before, you know?
Yeah.
It makes more sense now why when she had all of her friends, quote unquote, together, it was her whole team.
Right.
It was her lash tech. It was because she doesn't have friends, poor woman.
Yeah. And I mean, they're getting ready for the wedding ceremony, I guess, separately. She's going to stay at the hotel and he's going to go to another room with his brothers to get ready. And then he kind of gives a warning to Cruz.
Oh my God.
That, you know, to Shayla.
Don't cut your other than her hair.
Yeah, exactly. At the same time, he has hired a film crew, two men, to come into the room where she is and film her.
While she's getting ready, Taza. It's not even like she's modest and isn't that. She has to get ready. She has to put her clothes on. And
ultimate hypocrisy on his behalf, you know? It was like,
I felt so vindicated because I was like, this is what I meant when we talked about it last episode or the episode before, where I'm like, I'm sick and tired of these people using my faith to justify controlling behavior or whatever it is. And it's like, this guy keeps saying, oh, it's Arab rules. First of all, what the f*** does that mean? Because Arabi rules is not a thing, number one.
It could be cultural, non-religious.
Yeah, but maybe I'm just being rude because he doesn't speak English well. But whatever. I don't like him. Or saying, oh, it's Muslim rule. It's my faith. It's f***ing not, number one. Number two, this just goes to show how f***ing arbitrary, I'm getting angry, but how arbitrary his rules are.
Yeah.
It's like, clearly you don't care. You only care when it hurts your little ego a little bit more.
Exactly.
You kind of
tailor your religion the way it suits you. Like, whenever you want to say something, you know, to her that she has to do, is like, oh, it's my religion. You have to listen to that. It's him that wants her to act a certain way.
Don't use Islam as a front for your controlling behavior. Well, because it's like, I can say that, like, culturally, I'm a Muslim. I'm not a religious person. I don't call myself a religious person, and I don't follow a religion because I don't actually abide by the tenets of my faith, but I culturally identify with it, and I believe in a God and XYZ. Right. But I would never say, like, if there's a reason why I don't do something, I wouldn't be like, well, it's because I'm Muslim. I would be like, well, because I don't like you and I don't want to hang out with you.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be like, stop being a bitch and like say what it is that you actually want to say, which is, I'm insecure and I don't want you around other men or whatever it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, this season, they have two guys. One is Adnan and the other one is Sunny. They're both hypocrites.
And they're both f-ing Muslim. And they're going to all over the religion.
Sunny in South Africa, he goes out to bars and he drinks and he's looking at this girl that, you know, he's not even married to, naked in the shower. And he has the gall to say, oh, my parents are religious, and like, I will ask you if you want to become Muslim. It's like,
so stupid. It's like,
give me a break. No,
okay, I'm not trying to police people's religion, no, but it's like, you know, don't act hypocrite. Like you're something that you're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, tell, like, if you're going to follow the tenets of the religion, follow it. Don't be out here like,
it's either, or either you're in or out. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that you cannot be with another man in a room and then hire a camera crew, two of them, not just one, two of them, to follow her in the bathroom. And they're in the bathroom, for God's sake, and Tiger Lily is trying to fix her hair or makeup or whatever she was doing. And the guy says, oh, it's okay, it's okay. I'm just filming here. It's okay. What, are you kidding me? And, you know, my fiance said you're not supposed to be here and it's okay. I don't know.
And she, poor woman, she was like confused, but also it's like, I don't know if I was misreading it, but I felt like she was kind of scared. Like, she's like, I don't want to mess it up because I don't want him to get upset.
Out. I was like, oh my God, stay with me. Don't leave the room because there's a man in the room. Yeah.
Like, that is not how you want to be starting a marriage. My God.
Like a teenager. It's like someone that doesn't, you know, haven't seen the world and doesn't know anything. And, you know, it's, I felt bad for her. But,
he probably hasn't seen the world and doesn't know anything. He's 20, 22. He's really 22. Young.
But like, I'm saying she is like that. You know, she acts like, she doesn't act her age. She acts like she's a teenager.
Well, didn't she enter in her last relationship when she was in her early 20s or something? She hasn't. She hasn't lived the majority of her life. She's been completely controlled by this guy. So I'm not surprised as to why she's stunted. But, you know, hey, people, therapy exists, guys. Yeah, you know, people need help. You need help, you know.
Golden cage, I guess she called it. But
I know, it's so upsetting. I hear that term a lot, actually, for women who are... Like, I don't know if you know the Ballerina Farms thing.
No.
Oh my God, I got to tell you about that. I feel like you'll find that intriguing. But they're like millionaires. Everything's taken care of. But they're, but you know, she's expected to do exactly what he says and stay at home and look perfect and have children and cook everything and et cetera. Yeah. So I keep thinking of stuff like that. But yeah, it sucks.
I know. She was scared and the guy gave up and left. And she was like, oh, thank God he left. And, you know, so we can do whatever we want, or you can shake and leave the room, and Tiger Lily could be by herself.
Do her makeup or whatever,
And the next scene is Adnan getting ready, and he's having a ball. I mean, he's got his friends.
Oh, he doesn't care.
He's just like, you know, and, you know, they look nice. I mean, with the tuxedo and, you know, the wedding gown, they look, you know, nice together. But again, this is like another car crash. I don't know what's going to happen if these guys move to U.S. at some point. You know, what? It's, I'm afraid it's like going to be,
it's like a Mahmoud situation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 100%. Because if he's this controlling, he's not going to be like, oh, never mind. Like, it's just going to get worse.
Unless people, I mean, you never know. I mean, Adnan might change a little. You know, Mahmoud was pretty much, you know, strict.
He was pretty,
Adnan might be on a...
What was the woman's name with Mahmoud? What was her
Nicole.
Name? Nicole.
Yeah. From Santa Monica.
No, she definitely was living in downtown. Wait. Oh, my God. Did they say this? The other thing I was like, does his family have money? Because he, like, gifted her a really nice ring, right? If that was real. Right. And this wedding looks like, we haven't seen it, but it looks expensive. Is she paying for it?
No.
Did they pay for it? Do they have money? Because that's, like, a big factor in determining if he has, like, if he already has money, then he's going to continue to feel like he has more control over it.
Even if the venue is not spectacular, they're going to have so many people there, his relatives, that, you know, they all dress up and come and... They're all gonna look nice in any kind of venue.
No, but the sparklers and the this in. That looked expensive. I don't know. Is it cheaper to Throw a wedding in Jordan? Probably. But it looked like, any expense to do
this. He's the last child of 15, so.
If anything, I'd be like tired. I'd be like, girl, I'll just get a courthouse marriage. You're number 15.
Well, they did that. They already did that at
an attorney's office. No, but then I wouldn't even do a party. I wouldn't even waste the money. But
exactly.
I'm really curious to know. That will
be next on.
You think they'll tell us next episode?
Okay. What?
You think they'll tell us next episode?
Well, they came at the end when the next on came on. They showed that they were coming down the stairs and.
They won't. I wonder if they'll talk about the finances then, but. We'll see, I guess.
Oh, no. There's no... I don't
think... No, no. I mean, not like between one and other, but I wonder if, like, in commentary, she'll be like, his family foot the bill, so I'm really great. Like, I wonder if she says something like that.
You sound just like her.
Yeah. Because I really want to know if they paid for it or not. Probably. Because definitely they did not pay for the hotel.
She's leaving in 48 hours, so she doesn't care. She's gonna be coming back soon.
I know.
Just went there, got married, and I'm back. Well, the second couple they showed was Brian and let's
do Brian. My God, I have so much to say about Ingrid and Brian.
Yeah, they were driving from the hotel to Ingrid's hometown,
Gurupi.
And it was like 2 hours, 3 hours that they were driving. He was driving, and in the car. She kind of brings up the fact she wants to know more about the accident.
Well, before we get there, though, there were two other things that happened. One is...
Well, first they wake up and they ask, the producers ask him, like, does anything happen? So, no, nothing happened. Obviously, with all that information you're giving her the night before, nothing's going to happen between you two, you know? Between the Foley bag and the driving the car, and you know, it's the poor woman had to take in so much information on the first night, for God's sake, that it was a turnoff for her. And she was like, what am I going to do with all this information? I have no idea. I'm going to live the rest of my life with this guy, and I have to help him out. And I thought, you know, she said that in the episode that she thought that Brian was more independent and he was able to take care of himself for everything. But now she's finding out that he needs help putting that gear on in the car in order to drive. And then, you know, he needs help in the shower and this.
But this is... Yeah, this is what I was going to bring up. So when she said that, first I was like, what the fuck, you can't help him? You know, the things that he needed help with were not things that you do every day. There were things like putting the switches and the gears, accessibility stuff on the car. Like, you do that one and done. Like, you're not doing that every day. But then I was like, I don't know. First I was like, why is she saying this? This is rude. And then I was like, wait, is she just like... I was like, does she not like helping him, or is she trying to see if he's lied?
All right,
and then I was like, I think that's what she's more upset about. Not that I don't think she minds helping him. I think she thinks that, I think she's paranoid that he's lying to her. And she even said, is he trying to test me? And he had said he was trying to test her. Remember?
When you have a 2-year online relationship, you talk on the phone, what are you talking about? I mean, why didn't this stuff come up before? My answer is that he probably, the stuff about him, you know, because he portrayed a picture that it's like, I'm totally independent. I can do stuff on my own.
Well, it's different when you see them in person. You can't really explain.
I mean, compared to other, you know, people that are handicapped, maybe he can do a lot more, but compared to someone who has never had any experience, any exposure to someone who's quadriplegic, and you know, she doesn't know. She doesn't know what to expect. She doesn't know what's involved. So It would have been better if he had explained a little bit more that, you know, what takes place in his daily routine and daily life. And most of all, tell this woman how old you are. instead of leaving a fake number on your profile. That okay?
Is that what you think?
I think that's what she said. You know, she said, "Well, your
profile." But he's adamant. He's adamant that he never lied to her. He's like, I don't know where she got that from. Do you think that's bullshit?
She was definitely surprised when he said, "Oh, you're almost your dad is like almost my age." Is like
she was shocked.
Clearly,
there was a miscommunication.
But she had no idea. You know, she wasn't pretending to be surprised. And
so, do you think that he lied?
I think he just, you know, just like the other stuff, just like the accident he had, and what happened to him, you know, in his life, with the drug deals and all that, he was kind of hiding it from her, and wanted to tell her in person. So maybe he thought that the age thing might get lost if he talks about him being a drug dealer and distributing drug and drug user on top of that.
If that's the case, then she should be concerned, because then it's
I would be concerned, you know, if you hide that, you don't tell her that during those 2 years that you've been talking on the phone and you've been online.
The drugs thing is big. Yeah, that's not a small thing. That's a major thing.
He was upset, like, why you ask? And she has legitimate concern, like, yeah, you were a drug dealer at some point and a drug abuser, so you could turn back into that. You know, you can fall back.
He was really offended by her saying, what if you relapse? Oh, no, not that. The thing that offended him was,
she said,
if you were walking, you would still be selling drugs.
If you were able to walk, you'd probably go back to that right away, which didn't make sense, because you could still be selling drugs on a wheelchair. You don't have to be walking around.
I know. But you know, I think what she meant was, had that traumatic event not happened, it wouldn't have shook you enough to stop doing this.
Right.
I think that's probably what she meant, right?
I don't know. It just like it kept piling up.
But that's a fine point to make. Like, yeah, right. Maybe he wouldn't have stopped had this situation not happened.
Yeah.
But wait.
He was talking about
it. Wait, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Didn't he get out of it before?
His ex, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait. So he decided to stop doing it. Then he tells his ex that he had met during the drug period.
Yeah, he's claiming that his ex-wife set him up to be shot at.
No, he said she confessed.
To what?
I was like, what the f***? This guy or this woman order the carjacking?
Right.
Is this the mother of his daughter?
I don't know. It's the second wife, I guess.
It's his second wife. It might not be, because I think he said that he met this second woman after he got into drugs, dealing drugs. So if that's the case, then I don't think it is, because I think he already had a daughter, right? By the time... I don't know, but I was like, whoa.
I know. It's sad. I mean, the whole thing is sad.
That's insane.
But at the same time, you can't blame Ingrid about hearing all the stuff.
No, she needs to process. He keeps dumping stuff on her.
You know?
Oh, he keeps dumping one thing after another. And this poor woman's like, can we like get to my family's house?
And then on top of that, she says that my family are ignorant. My dad is the pinnacle of ignorance, so I cannot tell him anything about you. And
so what are you
gonna
do?
This is before she found out that, you know, Brian used to be a drug dealer and a drug user.
So what are you going to do? If your dad's a pinnacle of ignorance, what are you going to do? You going to keep him in your life or what?
And he says, why don't we just surprise them? How about we just pop in?
She's like, absolutely not.
I don't think so. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. And she lives, you know, God knows how far away from... She lives in a rural area, I believe. And, I mean, mentality is kind of different. You know, people are more conservative, you know, more traditional. I don't know how they're going to accept Brian. So in the beginning, when the first episode, or was it the second episode, second podcast that we talked about who's going to make it? And we kind of said, oh, Brian and Ingrid are gonna definitely going to make it. Remember when we talked about that? We were going to
Did
pick
we say
one,
that?
The one couple.
Did we?
Yeah, it was Brian and Ingrid.
I didn't say that. What do you mean?
Yeah, we agreed. And we said, remember there were four of them? And then we said, let's do this. Let's pick one couple.
I was like, I don't see any issue between the two of them.
Are really in love with each other and definitely going to make it. And so, yeah, Brian and Ingrid going to make it. So now, are we still sure that they're going to make it? I'm not
Between all the couples, still, they're the... Listen, it's slim pickings. Everybody has a fucked up relationship, but I'm saying between everybody that is currently on the show,
right?
I would say that they have they seem between the two of them to have like a genuine connection.
Right.
They just have a lot to work on because they just met
they
in
have
person.
A lot to
like,
work on.
It's gonna take but it's gonna take a while. Like, I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet.
Okay, so we're still sticking with Brian and Ingrid to make it all the way.
Yeah.
We'll discuss further in the next episode. So now we see the new couple, Niles and Matilda.
Oh, you don't want to even talk about Lauren and Faith or Sunny and Vea?
Oh, they're coming up. They're coming up. Don't worry.
Well, you're going in order of when they appeared in the episode. Okay.
All right. So this was about, the episode was basically about Niles, you know, introducing himself to us and, you know, where he lives, how he lives, his friends and his workplace, what kind of job he does. And one of the things that he said that was funny, he says, you know, a lot of things that I'm like, my senses of, you know, hearing and smell is very strong, and I can smell the mahogany on that furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And his cooking, he's frying the shit out of the bacon.
Poor guy. The bacon. I didn't recognize that it was bacon.
To the level where the smoke is coming up, the smoke alarm goes off. It's like, and
he's
says,
cute.
Do you want to have some of this? And the bacon looked like a piece of charcoal. Like, do you want to have some of this?
I thought it was like, I didn't think it was edible. I didn't know what he was holding. And then I realized it was bacon.
Exactly. Because it was all black.
I'm like, how did he not get overstimulated from the smell of the thing burning? But maybe he liked that.
I know. Where's that sense of smell you were talking about?
Maybe, you know, certain things trigger things and certain don't. But all I kept thinking of, like, he's so douche, Danny. Right. He's so Bonamac. And it's like... I just wanted to protect him again, because I was like, if he's going to be with someone who's neurotypical and not neurodivergent like him.
Autism spectrum disorder, that's what he said.
Right, but I'm saying he's considered neurodivergent.
Right.
And if he's someone who is neurotypical, they need to understand what he needs for support and not to just like steamroll the hell out of him.
Right.
Like, I'm just really worried because, you know, think about how far the U.S. still has to come in terms of stigma when it comes to autism.
Of course.
And even getting diagnosed, because a lot of people have spectrum disorders and then they can't get a diagnosis or whatever. And then think of, you know, it's not, it doesn't seem like it's going to be great there for him or a great experience.
Not at
and
all.
I'm a little bit concerned because
yeah,
I thought he would at least have some kind of advocate or someone coming with him, because
nobody's
the other thing is,
you
no
should
one
take Rory
seems
with
like...
him.
Wait, who's Rory?
Rory.
Was it the friend playing D&D?
Via and Rory.
Oh, Rory. He should take Rory with him. But, you know, I just kept thinking too. I was like, you know, people who are not, I don't know, educated about neurodivergence, like, it's really easy to get irritated with someone who has autism spectrum disorder if you don't understand what's going on. So like him getting overstimulated can just look like, to Matilda, he's just being mean.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, he's struggling, something is going on, and he needs his soothing mechanisms, or
yeah, you need a friend to go with him.
Something.
He needs a
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, like I'm just worried for him. Yeah.
Yeah, because the way they showed Matilda on
she
the
seems
screen,
to have a really strong personality. She's yeah, like, exactly. I hope you won't disappoint me. Like,
I don't know.
She just seems so controlling.
I don't know. We're gonna have lots of fights and arguments in Ghana for sure.
I know. I'm really worried about him.
Yeah,
the
he's,
other
he's
thing
not
too,
even
though,
sure
is that like when
about
he,
the wedding, and he told he was kind of confined.
But he's scared to say anything.
Yeah, he wanted to like slowly get into it on the phone with her, saying that, well, we're gonna do this one time, and we better make sure, and like we should get to know each other, and let's give ourselves more time. And she says, oh, I told my, you know, my friends, everybody's coming, and it's like on and on.
And she knows what she's doing, though. That's a manipulation tactic. She's doing it on purpose. She's like, I hope you don't want me to go back to everyone and tell them that it's off.
Right.
You know, she knows what she's doing.
Right.
But I'm just worried about him because obvious reasons. But, you know, when people don't have a physically visible impairment, like someone like Chidi or whatever, it's harder
it's hard.
For
exactly.
them to gain sympathy and in turn support for that.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm concerned, because you can't visibly see an impairment with Niles.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm worried because it's not a visible physical impairment that Matilda and her family are going to be like, this guy's crazy, or, you know,
right,
he's not doing what he, you know, and it's like they have no understanding of like what he's actually going through, which is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried about him.
And he's worried about the dowry.
It's
not dowry. It's
bride price. No, he definitely still call it dowry. I think they call it bride price.
I don't know. I mean, dowry in some cultures could be different. But I remember from my culture, dowry, where it originated from, was when the time that women could not work or had to stay home and to take care of the kids, and one person was the husband was the breadwinner. So when you got married, you would indicate, in case there is a divorce, there's this amount of money that I'm pledging to this wedding. So
it's like a prenup, kind of.
This amount of, you know, gold coins or whatever amount of money that you were willing to pay and you were capable of paying. So that not the physical money, but the number was put aside. And anytime that there was a divorce, she would put that into action. Like it would go to court and say, I want my dowry now because we're getting divorced. So she would have that kind of capital in her, you know, in her accounts. So she could move on as a single person. Because her role had to, you know, be at home and take care of the children. And now that he's gone, there should be money to for survival, you know, for them to move on and carry on a good life.
Wait, what you were describing is old-timey Iran?
Right. So that was the notion.
It's very progressive. Okay.
This is the money that is put aside in case there's a divorce, because it was progressive, but at the same time, they're looking at women like they're not supposed to be outside working and they should stay at home. Very, very conservatively, they were looking at it.
Yeah, but I mean, like in terms of protection for the woman post-divorce.
So that tradition stayed; it never went away. Even though now. You know, in some countries, even in Iran, both spouses, you know, women work and they're, you know, they have jobs, they make money. And so they still have that dowry that hasn't gone away. It's just that they might not enforce it the way they used to.
Right. So the way they're describing it on the show,
the show is like
when we saw with Emily, Like Emily and Kobe and Cameroon.
He's not like that.
Exactly.
You're not
they're talking about it.
You know, bride's family. No, it doesn't work like that.
Well, this is a different culture, different country.
Yeah.
They're saying it as you need to pay the bride. Wait, the bride's family? Yeah, you need to pay the bride's family for the bride because she'll be their property.
Correct. Now. So it's like you're buying something from
Remember
them.
With Annie and David? David?
Right. He had to buy like
he had to pay like a bunch of hundreds of thousands of baht to her family too. So I wonder what they called that. I wonder if they called that dowry or
that was the bride price. Yeah.
I just thought dowry was also like the same thing as bride price. I thought you just pay it to her family and just be done with it.
Yeah, apparently it means different things in different cultures.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't get a dowry.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I need to bring that up to my in-laws.
I didn't get anything. Can you tell your husband that he owes me some money? And
we'll have maybe, a post.
Maybe a cow. Maybe dowry. Half a cow. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll take it.
Or something.
Not half a cow. I want it to be alive. Hello.
No, at least, you know. A few pounds of cow, I can make some burgers or something. Some kebab,
yeah. Who's next? Who came up next?
Sunny and Vea. It was more. This one was more about Vea than Sunny because we saw how Sunny lives in South Africa. So this one was more about what.
Her ex, I was dying every time he said South Africa. Did you notice that?
No, I missed it.
He's like, you know, she asked me if I wanted to go to South Africa. Every time he said South Africa.
He was trying to be funny or?
No. No, he was just saying it, but because he was trying to say it with the South Africa. I think he thought it was like more authentic or something.
Right.
But he was like, yep, she called me up and she was like, do you want to go to South Africa? And I was like, and every time he's like, I don't know what it's going to be like in South Africa. But I'm like, bro, can we just say South Africa because we're American?
Yeah. And this is the episode.
Go back and watch
that,
it.
That Rory had no idea that Sonny doesn't know that he's coming. He was like, what? What are you saying? He has no idea that I'm coming. And, you know, next on is like the episode that the airport episode.
Everything goes to shit.
She's trying to hide Rory so that Sonny doesn't see him.
She like physically? Like hide him behind a pole
like
or something?
She wants to keep him a secret until when? I have no idea. It's like at some point he's going to see him or, you know, find out.
You guys.
You know, because you don't live in Florida. You know, it's another country. How are you going to carry that
he
on?
He is her security blanket. She revealed to us a bunch more trauma that she's experienced aside from, you know, bouncing around homes in foster care, which that alone is enough to have a truckload of trauma.
I know.
And then losing her brother to gun violence by police.
Right.
And then a miscarriage shortly after that, all with the guy that she's still attached to. Like, that's a trauma bond.
Yeah.
For life. This guy is never going to leave. You know, and to me, I'm not going to call it a red flag because it's a good thing that these two have this. I think, at least from what I've seen so far, it seems like it's a fine and healthy thing, but it's not healthy if they want to pursue other relationships because he's like, oh, I want to make sure that they're good for you and da da da. It's like, bruh, we need to let go. Yeah. You know, either we need to go our merry own way. What is it?
Yeah, but the sad
go
thing is.
Go R&R, merry. Go merry on our way, merry way. Something like
all
that.
All of these things came up in this episode while they were showing, you know, her talking to Sunny on the phone, you know, FaceTiming each other. And there were questions that came up about, you know, religion. And she says, you want me to become your religion? Is that the right way to say that?
No, it's not.
She kept saying, you want me to become your religion? No, that's not. You want me to convert to your religion? Yeah, that makes sense.
I doubt she was able to have access to a good education with all the foster homes.
Yeah, she probably didn't. And I mean, she's a physical therapist. So she has a stable. She has a good life and she had a good job and, you know, and now she's going to probably make the biggest mistake of her life. Move all the way to South Africa.
I don't know. I just was like, there is no way that Sonny's going to be able to finagle his way in between these two.
No.
Because they're way too attached. And to find out that their relationship ended was not because they didn't love each other.
Right.
That's always the concern. Like,
you know who they remind me of, these two? Rory and Vea. They remind me of, remember Victoria and what's his name? Tim?
Yeah, of course I remember them.
That they were, you know, every relationship.
Yeah, you're never going to separate those two.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be ruined.
Yeah.
You know, guys, either you get together and you stay together, or you just got to be co-parents, because those two are co-parents. I get
it,
but they're way too involved in one another's personal lives as it relates to
they're not
going to
find
a significant
anybody else
other.
Like that.
No way. You know? No way. So we'll see with that. But I'm like, just stay with Rory, man. He seems like he still cares very much for her.
Yeah, things might work out.
They just separated because it was a really rough time for them, right?
Yeah, give it some time.
What?
Yeah, give it some time. You never know. I mean, you know, you go and meet other people and they're not, you know, what you thought they were. And
they should just get back together. Try it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
Our final couple, Lauren Faith. Lauren gets on my nerve every single time.
He's so annoying.
I just
want to
smack that guy. He's like,
oh my god. He traumatized her at that dinner saying, I'm homeless. I have no money. Eva, like, why are you not pulling her aside and telling her that I'm getting so excited because they showed it in the promo.
Right.
And I was like, why is he saying this at a dinner table and not one on one? And I'm still angry about that.
Yeah.
What the hell? Did you see the way her face dropped? She looked like she was going to start shaking.
So they
she was really not having a good reaction. Yeah. Tell us.
I mean, so they go to have dinner with Faith's best friend. Her name is Mama Ding. She's a little bit older, but, you know, very close to Faith. And, you know, they talk about everything. So she lives on the sixth floor near the storage room at the hotel. Yeah, so they go downstairs or upstairs to talk to her. And that's when Lauren says that, oh, yeah, I'm homeless, by the way. I don't have any money. Because she's, Mama Ding says, she offers them food, you know, have some food and, you know, how you doing? And, you know, at some point, you know, it's good to go to America. And he says, no, it's going to be difficult because I have no money and I'm homeless. So that's when they zoom in on Faith's, you know, face is like, oh my God, what have I done?
But like, you know, shortly after that, he was like, well, I can just get a remote job and get like $16, $17 an hour.
Yeah, so like what?
And I'm like, so then why don't you just do that in the U.S. then? I don't understand.
No, wait.
And then
there's so many things wrong with what he said. First of all, he's stupid. He doesn't know anything. He's
what?
I'm an IT tech. No, you're not. He doesn't, you know, what did he do here? He was like collecting, you know, tip money, you know, at clubs.
Does he have an IT certification?
Second of all, even if he knows that, the whole idea of someone getting paid at a call center overseas is that they get paid money. They get paid like two,
like a dollar an hour.
An hour.
Or something.
Exactly.
That's the whole reason why
nobody's
going to
pay you $17 an hour in the Philippines, you know. And third, And third is like this. Who's going to let you work in the Philippines? It's not going to be okay with the immigration there. It's not going to be okay with the law. What are the rules of your visa in Philippines? You're not allowed to work. You got a visitor's visa. So
that's actually true. I didn't even think about that. Whatever
he said, it just didn't make sense, you know? So it just like, for those reasons, I wanted to smack.
I thought you were going to say, for those reasons, I'm out.
Yeah, let's not mix up the shows here.
Yeah, for those reasons,
Shark Tank and 90 Days, two different.
Good luck, but Lauren, I'm out.
I'm out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then
I didn't even think about that.
When they show next on, and he says, he wakes up in the morning, he's getting dressed, and he says, oh, I got a text that it's not a good text, not good news. So I'm thinking, oh wow, Faith texted him and ended it with him. And
thank God,
I'm glad to Faith that she had the courage to do that.
I thought so too.
And then he says, oh, I got gonorrhea.
He's like, but the way he says such and such and such, and then I slept with this person, whatever, and then he goes, which means I have gonorrhea of the penis. And then the cameraman zooms in on his
on his pants.
I'm like, can we back up? Like, you don't need to show me the about? Yeah. That what one? Is the camera people on this Thank show? Yes, yeah, like what the hell?
So now he has to come up with the truth again. Another guy, he has to tell the truth that he's been with someone else, all this time, and
it's always the men that are lying.
I really think that Lauren belonged to the other way, for real. It's like he doesn't want to come back here. He wants to stay in the Philippines. Like, he's already made up his mind. He wants to stay there. And I don't know. And Faith is kind of like, she's saying like, oh, well, he loves me. And I'm happy that, I found someone that accepts me the way they are.
Yeah, wait till next episode.
And it's like,
bomb is about to be dropped.
It's like, this guy is not what you think, He's got, and he exchanges his money. He says, $46. Yeah, let's exchange my money. Well, how much you got? $46. Let's go to the market. I want to buy everything for you.
Yeah, and then she's like, how about we? She's so smart. She's like, she's too good for him.
Let's budget your money.
Yeah, she's too good for him. She needs to find someone else.
First time in his life, he was able to buy whatever
treat his girl.
Treat his girl and everything that she wants. And money is no object. Let's spend all my 46
money. Money is no object for the next 4 days. Because they were like,
and we're done.
Yeah. But I was thinking, I was like, coming from New York City, I was like, $46 wouldn't get me past lunch.
No.
And I'm like, for them to be like 4 days on $46, like, that's a huge deal if you're coming from the US. So,
I mean, they say it's the annual salary in the Philippines is $95,000 a year. So,
wait, that's good.
You could live,
$95,000 US dollars a year is the average salary in the Philippines?
Correct. So he could go
on. What do you mean? That's like a lot of money. That's less than the American average salary.
No. $9,500, I think. Hold on.
I'm like, what the hell?
Let me see.
Yeah, are you sure? You almost said six figures.
Yeah.
$9,500 sounds about right.
Yeah. Drop a zero, so it's $9,500.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, if that's the case, then he can
survive in the Philippines, for sure. If it's $9,500 a year, so that's like $800 a month. Like $26 a day. So that could buy him like 2 days in the Philippines. I mean, she has good job. She has good friends, good job.
Good support system.
And why does he need, why does she need him?
She doesn't. She's about to find out. I feel like the season has not hit its stride yet, though. I feel like it still needs a couple more episodes. We still have two more couples to meet, you said?
Yeah, eight altogether.
All right, well.
Unless at some point they drop out, you know, you don't see them at all. Like yeah. Nicole and Mahmoud at the end.
True.
They just disappeared. We never knew what happened to them.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Mahmoud.
We never knew what happened. Oh, they never showed up to the tell-all. They never showed up to the tell-all.
I went looking for him on the Santa Monica Pier. He wasn't there.
Mahmoud!
Where are you? Come back.
Should we wrap up with a question? I'm not going to do would you rather this time. I'm going to ask you like a question.
Sure.
And you can do it. Your answer should be like out of the cast members on yes this and show no, this
or
season.
Is it multiple choice or?
Okay. Like the question is, which cast member do you think is most obviously using their partner for a green card and why?
Matilda.
You think so?
Yeah.
Definitely. You answered that so quickly. What the hell? You didn't even have to think about it.
No, I just, from the few scenes that I saw from her, that she's, you know, she probably, that's what she's going for. And she has arranged that wedding so quickly and she wants to, you know, get here as fast as she can, you know.
Yeah, because I was going to say Adnan, but then I was like, but he's not even fully open to being in the U.S. So
yeah, he's got money. He's fine in Jordan. He's having a good time. He's got all his family there. Well, why would he want to come here?
You know? Yeah, I guess Matilda. Yeah, okay. Well, that was quick. You keep answering all these end of episode questions like so quickly. Yeah. But whatever.
No, that's about it. Next on should be interesting. At least we see a wedding. That should be nice to watch.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of bullshit he says is because of Islam and not because of him.
Yeah.
Next episode.
I know. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You know, people do listen. You know, we got supporters.
Yeah. What do you know that I don't know?
We have more supporters than
Dennis and Sully. Yeah,
that's about it.
Our only listeners.
I don't know. We listen. I listen in the morning, so I got to thank myself.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening to our podcast. Hope you join us next week.
And if not, please. I'll join us.
We'll talk anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll carry on.
All right, well.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Just a quick note. The opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.